It's Thursday, January 7th, and for a few long hours, the Capitol had fallen. We start here. For the first time in 200 years, invaders take over the U.S. Capitol, only this time they're American.
Right here, we're going to walk down to the Capitol.
With President Trump stoking the flames, insurrectionists successfully breach the building, sending lawmakers running for cover.
Everybody stay down! Get down!
Today, with the people who were there,
law enforcement was not around.
We'll break down the moments that sent American democracy teetering and ask how we regain our footing. From ABC News, this is a special edition of Start Here. I'm Brad Milkey.
Madam Speaker and members of Congress, pursuant to the Constitution and the laws of the United States, the Senate and House of Representatives are meeting in joint session.
Yesterday morning, we were prepared for a day that would reflect the state of American democracy. That is what we planned on talking about, because this was the day that the U.S. Congress was duty-bound to affirm the results of a free and fair election, to tell Americans what election officials, state officials, and courts across the country have told us and retold us already, that we accept the message from voters.
Mr. President, the certificate of the electoral vote of the state of Arizona seems to be regular in form and authentic.
We knew a sizable number of Republicans were prepared to reject that premise, though. They would say these results were not and are not legitimate.
Mr. Vice President, I, Paul Gosar from Arizona.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Arizona rise?
I rise up for myself and 60 of my colleagues to object to the counting of the electoral ballots from Arizona.
Is the objection in writing and signed by a senator?
Yes, it is.
I've served 36 years in the Senate. This will be the most important vote I've ever cast.
For other Republicans, though, this crossed a line. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell took to the floor early to tell his colleagues this is dangerous.
This election were overturned by mere allegations from the losing side. Our democracy would enter a death spiral.
You might be wondering, what is so dangerous about openly questioning these election results, right? Like, the world still turns, right? Inaugurations still happen. You just get to make your political point and move on. It's rhetoric. But what McConnell was hinting at here was, imagine the chain reaction here. Politicians start claiming elections are stolen, despite having no evidence. Followers believe them, and they believe, therefore, that democracy is up for grabs. In that world, in their minds, power belongs to whoever takes the most drastic actions. If it's being stolen from you, steal it back. That is when people start trying to seize power by pure force. But within just a few hours in Washington, we were no longer looking at rhetoric.
Brad, are you guys good on that end parole?
And you want me to take you off speaker, right?
Yeah, just pick up the
Okay, phone. I gotcha. All right.
It was a day of split screens, multiple things happening in real time. And so today, along with the entire team at ABC News, we're going to try to give you a clear sense of what happened, and perhaps an answer to the bigger question, how could this happen? Let's start with the first split screen of the day.
Lines. Vice President Mike Pence will open up these envelopes. The president has been pressing him to act. He's put out a statement just moments ago making it clear he will not.
By saying that, Pence was directly defying President Trump. And at almost the same moment, President Trump decided to make a statement of his own.
I want to thank you. It's just a great honor to have this kind of crowd and to be before you and hundreds of thousands of American patriots are committed to the honesty of our elections and the integrity of our glorious republic.
President Trump walks outside the White House, and before him are thousands and thousands of his supporters. It was like a giant outdoor Trump rally.
That is ABC's chief global affairs correspondent, Martha Raddatz, who began her day standing among Trump supporters.
Joe Biden. It's going to be inaugurated president. What's your next move?
Get rid of all the crooks that's in there now. Republican.
A lot of them couldn't even hear him, and they started leaving before he even finished. But it was a crowd that was enthusiastic. They did not seem angry. It was very peaceful. What
are you They're trying to take our freedoms.
Trying to get us to say we're going to get violent? That's what it seems like. Seems like you're trying to bait us into something.
I just want to know what your next move is.
Hell out of here.
And then the crowd dispersed. These thousands and thousands of people just walking through the city.
Now it is up to Congress to confront this egregious assault on our democracy. And after this, we're going to walk down, and I'll be there with you. We're going to walk down. We're going to walk down. Anyone you want, but I think right here, we're going to walk down to the Capitol.
But many of them started up towards the Hill.
This election was stolen.
Everybody's invited.
We started to hear, sort of spread like a brush fire through the Capitol, that President Trump had just told all the protesters, we're all going to march, as if he's going to go with them. We're all going to march to the Capitol.
Now or never.
Our house.
Our house.
Our house.
It felt like everything changed.
This is ABC's senior Capitol Hill producer, Trish Turner, who has this little booth that she works in. It's high above the Senate floor. Meanwhile, ABC's Ben Siegel covers the House, and I'm just going to have the two of them describe what happened next.
There were so many demonstrators there, much more than expected. And then very quickly after that, I began hearing about some of these buildings around the U.S. Capitol building, House office buildings, the Library of Congress, getting evacuated.
So on the east front facing the Supreme Court, you could see the crowds building.
Police are squabbling with protesters. Oh, there we go.
They were pushing into the bike barriers. And one of my cameramen, Peter Jessen, he came up and he said, hey, Trish, I've shot this video. They're breaking through the barriers.
And they just breached the Capitol again.
And there you see the protesters on the Capitol steps. They are on the
and
Capitol
I thought,
steps.
Breaking through the barriers, you just don't see that happening here. And then, you know, we would go over to the windows on the west front, and it was like, oh, goodness. They're breaking through there.
Due to an external security threat, no entry or exit is permitted at this time.
All of a sudden, there was a loudspeaker announcement in the Capitol, and that just, you know, I've been here many years, and I've heard it for when the earthquake came and 9/11 a little bit after that, but they don't use that system very much.
Good afternoon. We're coming back on the air right now because we were just learning that those protesters you saw on the Capitol steps just moments ago have now breached the Capitol, are now inside the Capitol.
At that point, Ben, what are the entry points that they're actually worried about?
The Capitol is like a maze. There are so many ways in and out of the Capitol building, out of the complex, and there are barricades and officers stationed all over. So at one of those points... these rioters overpowered the police, apparently, and got access to the building. And then very soon after that, the rest of the police sort of retreat further and further, into the Capitol Plaza and then to the doors of the Capitol.
That is not Ukraine. That is not Belarus. That is the United States Capitol right there. Just moments ago, protesters incited by President Trump trying to break down the doors.
And at some point, breaking through windows and swarming into the building.
We respect the law. We were good people. The government did this to us. We were normal, good, law-abiding citizens, and you guys did this to us. We want our country back.
And this is the moment where many of these people stop being protesters. These are no longer demonstrators. These are supporters of a losing presidential candidate violently shoving aside police officers, invading a government building, and claiming it as their own.
Two buildings within minutes, the order going out for them to be evacuated, members start sheltering in place, and then very soon after that, in the House and Senate chamber, you begin to see some activity there. Members of House leadership are escorted out of the chamber. We see this on our TV screens, on our C-SPAN video feeds, and we're also learning about it from reporters in the House chamber sending us notes of color. You know, we were expecting notes of color talking about the highlights of so-and-so's speech about the electors from Arizona. Instead, we're getting notes about how Speaker Pelosi is being quickly escorted out of the room.
When I got up there, by the time I got up there, they had already gone into and breached the Capitol. had gone inside.
George, at one point, as we were walking, we heard people chanting, "We took the Capitol. We took the Capitol," because they
and
wanted to.
And all the way as I'm going on my way there, I'm asking people, because obviously I've heard about this, and it's so alarming and appalling. And I start seeing some of the people I'd just seen a while ago. And I said, "They breached the Capitol. Is that what you wanted?" And they shrug.
We're the People's Party. This is a government for the people, by the people, and it's not that anymore.
And say, "We have a right to do that. That's what we do. That's why we did it. It's our house, too."
Hey, Don, what were the first images that told you this is getting bad?
First images I saw were actually a call from my brother, because he's a U.S. Capitol Police officer, Daniel Mihalik. He was on the House side, and he was in the middle of the violence that erupted.
Wait, your brother was there?
Yes, he actually responded to the IED threat at the Republican club down a block. So that was the last that I talked to him as he was walking towards that IED call. And then I didn't talk to him until just a couple of minutes ago.
Is he okay?
He's okay, but he was okay. He was securing doors and, you know, filling holes as the day was unfolding, trying to.
That is Donald Mihalik, a former U.S. Secret Service agent and an ABC News contributor. And as his brother is calling him on the phone, this mob has started to quickly and efficiently break into the Capitol. Did you get a sense, like, you're in law enforcement, did you get a sense watching this that this is a group of activists who are, like, caught up in the moment, you know, they're just storming in? Or was there a plan here? Like, was this tactical?
What I saw was people that had equipment. That indicates that there was some planning involved in this.
Protesters are posting threats of violence and incitement online on channels used by organizations like the Proud Boys, white supremacists, and other extremists. The Post called for violence against Vice President Pence and Speaker Pelosi specifically, as well as urges supporters to actually hang people on Capitol Hill.
Were they ever in your space specifically, Trish?
So we're in this really weird hidey hole on the fourth floor that's sort of tucked above the radio TV gallery. So they didn't know to come up our spiral staircase, but they were absolutely all around us. So,
really,
you know, we could hear, you know, at one point you could hear them, you know, it was really frightening.
I want to go to Congressman Joaquin Castro in the Capitol. Congressman, we hear from one of your colleagues, Jim Himes, a Democrat of Connecticut. The police have asked you to get gas masks out as there's been some tear gas used. What can you tell us about what's happening right now?
Well, obviously, and I'm here with my colleague, Roger Krishnamurthy, congressman from Illinois.
And George Stephanopoulos was talking to lawmakers in these different places.
So I was talking to him because a couple of the people got excited. If you've seen the picture, there's some, you know, obviously, Cap police, rightfully so, had their guns drawn. And so I was telling them, guys, you're going to get shot. You're going to get killed.
They reached and entered the speaker's office itself.
The most frightening thing was that many of these people made their way to the House and Senate chambers. They seemed to almost ransack the place.
There you go, brother.
As we filmed, protesters tore down Pelosi's nameplate.
Martha, as people got into the Capitol, it also seemed like just more and more people kept showing up, right? And there's almost, you know, there's little police presence, and people are like having this party or like this weird gathering. Did it feel dangerous, or was it like uncomfortable? It's creepy.
There was no doubt it was a dangerous situation. Law enforcement was not around.
This is the area where these people are saying, "Let me in, let me in." We also heard some glass breaking back there. We obviously don't want to get any closer to that area.
If they can't hold the Capitol, if they allow those protesters to breach the Capitol, it's a dangerous situation outside as well. And I don't say that lightly. I've been in a lot of really dangerous situations in conflict zones around the world. Here, it was more than uncomfortable.
We're coming for bodies!
We are at war!
We are at war!
And all across the country at this point, Americans are watching with horror. But what is going on inside the White House?
We'd seen the president come out and tweet urging his supporters to protest peacefully.
This is ABC senior congressional correspondent Mary Bruce.
But there were these growing calls for him to do more, for him to come out and tell his supporters to go home, to call all of this off. And as we heard those calls growing, well, in comes the president-elect.
At this hour, our democracy is under an unprecedented assault.
Joe Biden in a very presidential moment.
It's disorder. It's chaos. It borders on sedition. And it must end.
Coming out before the cameras to do what the president at the time had not, calling for an end to this.
I call on President Trump to go on national television now to fulfill his oath and defend the Constitution and demand an end to this siege.
And shortly after, we did see President Trump do that, kind of.
I know your pain. I know you're hurt.
He put out a short one-minute message, video message, on Twitter.
It was a landslide election, and everyone knows it, especially the other side.
But he also, in his first breath of this video, repeated his false, baseless claims that the election was stolen from him, claiming, of course, wrongly, that there was a landslide election, that he won, which is simply just not true. And yet at the end of this video...
But we can't play into the hands of these people.
But then added...
We love you. You're very special. You've seen what happens.
Was a far cry from a condemnation.
But meanwhile, Mary, you've been covering these members of Congress who were in agreement with President Trump throughout all this, right? Like, it's not like he was the only one saying this election was a fraud. So what were you hearing from those Republicans?
It started with Republicans just condemning the actions of these rioters, saying it was un-American, not what this country stands for.
This is not a protest. This is anarchy. It's un-American.
I called the president, explained to him what was going on. I know he put a tweet out. I begged him to go talk to the nation.
And then you saw the growing calls for the president to do more, to urge his supporters to stop this siege, to call this off.
I think there is a good possibility they will drop all additional objections.
And you did actually start to see some Republicans do a little bit of backpedaling.
Attention, a curfew is in effect at 1800 hours.
Questions already. How did this unravel so quickly? And how was this allowed to happen?
Companies in and around the Capitol had their own intelligence operation telling them to be careful of their people, to be on guard, to take precaution.
Eventually, more law enforcement did arrive. People were ushered out. The arrests numbered in the dozens, not the hundreds. And only in the cold, empty hallways did people really start to get a sense of the damage, and more importantly, the damage to human life. One woman shot and killed. Three other people dead from medical emergencies in the chaos. And all of this time, there was this looming question. Would Congress even dare to come back to these chambers and finish this ceremony affirming our votes? The answer from members of both parties was an unequivocal yes.
The Senate will come to order.
So they come out of, where they've been sequestered, and both chambers determine they're going to plow through this.
The United States Senate will not be intimidated.
To those who strove to deter us from our responsibility, you have failed.
For even in the wake of unprecedented violence and vandalism at this Capitol, the elected representatives of the people of the United States have assembled again on the very same day to support and defend the Constitution of the United States.
And I think what many of the Republican senators told us later was this is what the president should have been saying, and we never heard this from him, and that was pretty surprising.
And remember, they had not been evacuated during a kumbaya moment, but following this objection to the votes from Arizona, the words of Mitch McConnell about this becoming dangerous, those words were echoing loudly through the chamber at this point. So, members of Congress gathered, and quickly, somberly, they tried to wrap up.
You know, at the end of the day, it was exactly the outcome we all knew was going to come. It just came a little later.
When I arrived in Washington this morning, I fully intended to object to the certification of the electoral votes. However, the events that have transpired today have forced me to reconsider.
And they, upheld what they were here to do, and that's simply a ceremonial effort to ascertain the winner of the 2020 election, which the Electoral College has already certified.
The report we make is that Joe Biden and Kamala Harris will be the president and the vice president according to the ballots that have been given to us.
We often talk about the White House as the center of power in this country, but there is a reason the Capitol is one of our most impressive pieces of architecture, because the founders said that is where the real power is supposed to lie. To this day, it is known as the People's House, where you can perhaps bump into a leader fairly elected. Last night, even cleared of rioters, that building seemed a lot more frail.
Man, I tell you, walking the entire length of the first floor at the end of the night and seeing the assault on this building that I've covered for so many years, it was sad and pathetic. And I just, my heart just broke in that moment, because you can't be here and not appreciate this place. And, you know, walking through, it was just like, how dare they do something like this?
For me, seeing our Capitol breached on American soil, this kind of violence, and there is nothing short of saying this is just horrendous violence, anarchy, call it what you will. I've seen this overseas, but to see it on American soil just rocks you to the core.
Did this feel like the end of something to you, Martha, or could you imagine more scenes like this? Is this over?
I don't think this is going away. These people are angry. This legacy will live on.
What do you hope to accomplish?
I hope to show America that there's a new party in town and we're forced to be reckoned with.
There was a woman on Capitol Hill killed, and they are going to remember that. In fact, when we were walking away from the scene, they were saying, don't forget an unarmed woman was killed at the Capitol today. That's how many of those people will see all of this. And I think that will be a new rallying cry.
Next up on Start Here, who's responsible and what do you do about it? We'll be right back.
We've got the exclusive view behind the table. Every day, right after the show, while the topics are still hot, the ladies go deeper into the moments that make the view, the view. The Views Behind the Table podcast. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer. We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our two interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts.
The first ever criminal trial of a former president is underway in Manhattan. It's one of potentially four trials facing former President Trump as he makes his third bid for the White House. What do voters think about his culpability, and would a guilty verdict make a difference in the election? I'm Galen Druk, and every Monday and Thursday on the 538 Politics podcast, we break down the latest news from the campaign trail. We sort through the noise and zoom in on what really matters, using data and research as we go. That's 538 Politics every Monday and Thursday, wherever you get your podcasts.
So we walked through how we got here, but it doesn't quite do justice to that queasy feeling you got when you saw people marching through the halls of Congress and breaking down doors, or when you saw crowds of people cheerfully waving their flags from the Capitol balcony. So I want to bring in ABC's chief White House correspondent Jonathan Carl and ABC's senior national correspondent Terry Moran. Terry, what did a day like this mean for the United States of America? What do you take away from it?
A dark day for the country, and I think most people feel that way. This is one of those days that will remember and that will be remembered. If it fades into the mists of history, I'd be surprised, because it is something that's never happened. This mob What does it mean? It means we got through this election by the skin of our teeth.
They failed to attempt to obstruct the Congress. This failed insurrection only underscores how crucial the task before us is for our republic.
Joe Biden won. Absolutely no doubt about that. But if it were not for the person of Mike Pence and Mitch McConnell, maybe, and a couple of other people, this mob might have represented the end of the democracy. That's what they wanted. They wanted to stop the certification, the counting of electoral votes certified by 50 states, and give the election to their guy, Donald Trump.
Nobody knows what the hell is going on. There's never been anything like this. We will not let them silence your voices. We're not going to let it happen.
One thing I was struck by were the chants. Fight for Trump. Fight for Trump. Not fight for America.
Thank you.
This is a movement in our country, and it reached a terrible, bloody apex at the Capitol.
Take that house! Take it now!
Yeah, Jonathan Carl, I mean, you were keeping track of not just Congress, not just Washington, but like inside the White House. Has a switch flipped in Washington when it comes to how people see the president and his, you know, his mission here?
My sense is that we are looking at the end of the Trump era.
All I can say is count me out. Enough is enough. I've tried to be helpful.
I think you saw a moment here where Donald Trump, after a string of losses that led to this day, you know, the loss on November 3rd, the losses in Georgia and the Senate races.
And I cannot now in good conscience object to the certification of these electors.
Not to mention the override of the veto that happened on New Year's Day. The president has seen a series of things that haven't happened throughout his presidency, which is losses at the hands of Republicans.
If you vote to overturn these elections, wouldn't it be the opposite of what states' rights Republicans have always advocated for? This would doom the Electoral College forever.
You know, there was certainly a lot of speculation. I think we had spoken about the possibility of Donald Trump going back to Mar-a-Lago and mounting a comeback, or at least becoming a kingmaker in the Republican Party after yesterday.
To those who wreaked havoc in our Capitol today, you did not win. Violence never wins. Freedom wins. And this is still the people's house.
I don't really think a Donald Trump as Republican kingmaker is a likely scenario after January 6th or after January 20th.
Right. Does it go beyond that, John? Because, you know, you heard Terry talking about Mitch McConnell and even Mike Pence, these forces that were kind of constraining President Trump. But how far could that go? I mean, what kind of constraints could we see on President Trump going forward? It turned out that it was not his orders that got the National Guard into Washington, D.C. You've got people resigning out from under him overnight, essentially saying they were sickened by all this. And now we're even hearing talk about like the 25th Amendment. Is that a serious possibility?
I have confirmed there have been members of the cabinet who have had conversations about the 25th Amendment. That would be, you know, effectively removing the president because he is mentally incompetent, mentally unable to do the job. Those conversations are happening, and they're happening not just among the cabinet where it's relevant, but also among the president's allies, some of the president's allies on Capitol Hill. But that's a really steep climb. I mean,
right.
That is an extraordinary thing you would need.
And the vice president can submit a declaration to congressional leaders saying the president is unfit for the job. The president now can contest that. And if the vice president and cabinet persist, that would lead to a vote in Congress. But that has never happened before under circumstances such as these.
Now, I think that's a real long shot, but it just gives you a sense of where we're at and how worried people very close to Donald Trump are that those conversations are in fact happening.
And I am sure that there are responsible members of the cabinet who right now are thinking about what are their obligations under the oath that they took. And if they're not thinking about those things, they should be.
Hey, Terry, who's complicit in what we just saw? I mean, you know, I think that's the question that's going to be weighing on a lot of people going forward here. Is it enough to say, I condemn violence, but I do believe this election was a sham without any evidence whatsoever. Like, what are the legacies of, you know, essentially everyone else in Washington stemming out of these events?
Well, I think as Senator Ben Sasse, Republican of Nebraska, put it, lies have consequences.
America isn't Hatfields and McCoys' blood feud forever. America's a union.
There are a lot of reasons to vote for Donald Trump. There are a lot of reasons to vote against Joe Biden or against Hillary Clinton. But to tell the American people lies, that the election was stolen by some combination of software companies, Hugo Chavez out of the grave, and I don't know, the Bigfoot, that has consequences. And to stir it up and drive people to the point of, you're telling people they're stealing your country from you. They're stealing your country. They're going to take your guns, and they're going to slaughter babies and kidnap them and put them in pedophile rings and all the rest of it. To wind people up like that, what do you think is going to happen? Seriously, especially under the leadership of Donald Trump, who has a gift for bloody language, who has a gift for stirring people up.
But we're going to try and give our Republicans, the weak ones, because the strong ones don't need any of our help. We're going to try and give them the kind of pride and boldness that they need to take back our country.
He said, march to the Capitol. And he said, show that you aren't going to win by weakness. It takes strength. Be strong up there. You know, that whole rhetoric of brutishness and violence and the fist is the real power. Anybody who went along with that, and plenty did, the American people may very well judge you to be complicit. But I would just say I'm not as sanguine as John about this is all over. You know, these kind of movements sometimes take fuel from an event like this. A lot of Republicans now have a taste for this kind of politics. Look what happened in the House.
Some of the people who breached the Capitol today were not Trump supporters. They were masquerading as Trump supporters and, in fact, were members of the violent terrorist group Antifa.
Now, more than half of House Republicans voted to nullify the election after the mob attacked the Capitol. That tells you that I think this is a long way from being dead.
These objections don't deserve an ounce of respect. Not an ounce. A woman died out there tonight.
Terry raises a good point, and we just don't know. I mean, I think that this movement is one of the biggest political movements, maybe the biggest political movement that I've seen over the course of my lifetime covering politics. And it doesn't go away tomorrow. It doesn't go away when Donald Trump goes away. And my point is that Donald Trump, as a viable national political figure and as somebody who can call the shots for the Republican Party, I think that goes away. But Donald Trump is ending his presidency with a series of really profound losses that began with a loss on November 3rd, but certainly didn't end there.
And in fact, overnight, President Trump's campaign manager, Dan Scavino, has now put out a statement on the president's behalf saying, with that vote in Congress overnight, it, quote, represents the end of the greatest first term in presidential history. Well, once again, kicking up lies about who actually got the votes. Jonathan Carl, Terry Moran. Thanks, guys.
Thanks.
Thanks, Brad.
Thank you for sticking with us in this supersized episode, just such an important moment in American history. And we didn't even talk about the fact that Democrats will now control not just the White House, but the Senate as well. ABC News can project that John Ossoff will win his race, meaning amid all these undemocratic images in Washington, Georgia, showing the country what voters, actual votes, can achieve. I stick with ABC News throughout the day for more updates. I'm Brad Milkey. See you tomorrow.